This is Phil Farron. And I am driving around because it was that type of day when there was plenty of things going here and going there that I'm actually just driving away from home for a little bit, and then I will drive home. So today was the last kind of in-class day for Dustin. He made his presentation today, and that all went fine. And so now he just has an exit interview, which I believe is on the 9th.
Which is...
What is today? Today is, what, the 4th? So it's on the 9th, so it's next Tuesday. And then that's the last thing. And then sometime in here, I guess the superintendent of the school is going to review all their stuff, make sure everybody has the appropriate number of hours, all that sort of thing, get that all taken care of, and then he'll actually release them to take their national test. So Dustin's going to take that as soon as he can get released, and then as soon as he can get that, you know, scheduled, he's going to go ahead and take that test, and then once he gets that national certification, then he's good. He's got it done. So we are really, really close now. He thought today was going to be the last hurrah before he took the test, but in fact, he's got one more thing to do. So that's all right. That's all right. He thinks they're just real trouble with allergies. Hopefully it's not something different, but he's just been aching and coughing and wheezing and all kinds of stuff like that. So I may or may not have Aiden tomorrow. He may take a day off tomorrow, but just got to check and see how much time he has accrued and like that and like that. So that was all good today. Made it through all of that, and then as far as the writing goes, I have uploaded all the files for book 23. And so book 23 is officially in the can, locked down and uploaded, good to go. So now I just have half a book 24 to write, and then, you know, do the beta reader stuff. And I'm piddling along a little bit on that now. I'm making sure that I've got all set up. I'm ready to start the read-through now of what I've already written for book 24. So, you know, that'll be a week's worth of going through and editing up what I already have written, and then diving in and pushing through on book 24. So I think I've got lots to write about in the second half of book 24. I got to get all the loose ends tied up that I can, and headed out to the big finish, and then we'll get that under control. I have the most of the PLA ordered. I have hopefully all the PLA ordered that I will need to do the Mario costume and also the Bowser costume. Not all of it is in. It's coming in sporadically, but I've been printing Mario's hat for the last 4 or 5 days. Have about another day on that, and then I'll switch over to Mario's face, and once I get switched over to Mario's face, then I'll start gluing the hat together. And then once I have the whole head together, I'll be able to start on the costume, because I don't know exactly where everything is going to line. I think I know how everything is going to line up, but I don't know exactly. So I want to make sure that, you know, I probably already should have doubled back, because I need to be in the garage when I start talking about our topic today, because I need my notes. So let me find a place here to turn around. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Here.
We're gonna run up. Sorry.
We're gonna run up this little side street. And there's a little subdivision up here. And that'll be an easy place to turn around. And so we'll just do that in the subdivision. And then I will talk very slow. Here, is this the subdivision? I don't think that it is, but this looks like I can turn around here. Because there's another car, it's gonna pass me by. And I think he already passed me by. And I will turn around. There we go. Anyway, so writing is going fine. I've been thinking a lot about the books I'm going to write after I finish this series. So I'm ramping up, gathering information, having breakfast with friends, chatting with them about those ideas. And I might chat a little bit on the podcast about those ideas as I'm working on them. I don't have them all kind of worked out yet. Still a lot of pieces forming, but I'm trying to come up with an explanation of why people approach some of these things so differently. You know, for instance, I'm going to jabber about this until I can get back home. So I have friends that have known me 4 years. They know who I am. They know what my motivations are. They know why I do what I do. But they have very different reactions to what I do at a very deep base level. Like, I had a friend, and I would consider him a close friend. We just talked about everything. You know, we'd go to breakfast together and just talk about everything. But he would tell me flat out, I can't go to breakfast with you in a costume. I just can't do it. He said, I'm sorry, I just can't do it. Can't do it. I said, okay. What? And he said, no, I'm just telling you, I just can't do it. Okay, that's fine. He was not a shy person. He was a fairly boisterous person. But when he said, oh, I can't go to costume, you know, go to breakfast with you in a costume, I'm pretty certain that he didn't mean, oh, I can't go to breakfast with you in, for instance, a ninja costume or something. It didn't have anything to do with there being a costume. It had to do more with anything that had overtones of being what he would judge as feminine. He couldn't get that reconciled in his head that he would be going out with someone who had any characteristics of looking feminine. It was a hard sob. You know, I have people I have known for years and years and years and years and years that won't necessarily, to me, express things about the costumes that they're uncomfortable with because they respect my opinions and they respect what I'm trying to accomplish. But there have been times when word has gotten back around the other way that when they are expressing it to other people, they have expressed it in a way that clearly means they are uncomfortable with the whole idea. You know, and that's fine. And then I have other people that, like, they don't have any problem with it all, period, don't have any problem with it all. I also had another friend that wanted to talk to me about something serious. And I have talked to friends about serious things when I've been wearing long bunny ears. You know? And I had one friend that just said, you know, it's so strange about this, is he said, we start talking about this and we get, you know, deep in this conversation about really deep things, and I just completely forget that you're in costume. I said, yeah. And then he said, all of a sudden, I kind of shake out of that and realize you're wearing bunny ears. And it's like, yeah. Whereas I have another friend who wanted to talk to me about something very, very serious. And I forget what costume it was, but it was a costume where I... Oh, are you kidding me? I am so sorry. I'm so sorry. This happens occasionally. Let's make sure that we're still recording. Yeah, we are. I was just slowing down a little bit because there's a postal delivery guy who's going to go down our lane in a minute. And I'm so sorry about that. I am going to let him go down our lane. Whoop. Oh, there must be two mailboxes there. There we go. Nope. He was just waiting to see if I was going to go. And he's probably going to go down our lane. Yeah, he is. So, anyways, so we were going to talk about something fairly serious. And he said, it was some kind of headdress or headgear or something. Because, you know, I wanted to talk to you about this and it was really serious. Oh, sure. No problem. I just find all of that fascinating. Because I think what it's demonstrating is that there are varying degrees of connection at a very deep level that these men have between subsystems and appearance. My friend who said, yeah, I can't go out with you, you know, when you're dressed in costume. I think what he was saying was, I'm uncomfortable being around you when you are manifesting these elements of appearance that I consider to be connected to biology and affect my biological systems. Even though we had talked consistently about the difference between appearance and biology and all those things, it was still, for him, he understood what I was saying, but for him getting the instinctive responses of biology disconnected from appearance and the effect of appearance on him, it was just such a struggle that he didn't want to put himself in that struggle. And for other people, they're just like, whatever, you know, they don't have that same kind of rigid connection. And I just find that fascinating. And maybe that's connected to the concept of openness. Because within the big five personality types, sometimes called ocean, you know, it's openness, conscientiousness, extroversion, aggressiveness, and neurosis? Is it neurosis? Neuroticism. And So within ocean, there's three positive traits, two negative traits, and it's your combination of how strong or weak you are in those areas that then makes up the matrix that they use to put you in a box to where we can estimate how you're going to react to things. So openness is one of those qualities that's in that matrix. And by openness, it is how flexible are you in terms of meeting new ideas, new challenges, and being willing to embrace them, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So there might be some connection in terms of openness, but I don't know. You know, maybe it's the people who like everything to be categorized and like everything to kind of be easy to understand. And it's just very fascinating. It's very, very fascinating. So I've been thinking about how do I express all that? How do I express it in such a way that it makes some sense, but I'm not sure even if I express it in all the best possible ways that it will ever make it through to some people. Because it's like there are some people that they just can't. You can talk to them and you can talk to them and they might nod their heads, but there's something in them that's just keeps going, nope, 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 nope. I remember a conversation that I had a running conversation with a friend for years about some of these fundamental things. And then there was something that happened that was egregious enough that at that point he kind of looked at me and he said, you know, all those years you talked about X, Y, and Z, and I really didn't think you were right, but I think you're right about this stuff. And it was like, it came as a great shock to him, you know, which is fine. I don't expect everybody to agree with me. But I thought that the case that I made to him was pretty airtight. And he kind of nodded like it was, but apparently underneath there was just something going, nope, 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 that's not how it works. And, you know, then 10 years later, 15 years later, enough stuff happens and he has enough experiences that he's looking at it and saying, you know what, I think Phil was right about this. So that aspect of it is really, really interesting. And frankly, I've got notes that I can talk about next week, but this idea of humans getting stuck and seemingly having no way of getting unstuck from beliefs that are not profitable to them. I've had several conversations with a particular friend who was a counselor earlier in life and now is a real estate agent. And when we have these kinds of conversations, his approach is always, well, in counseling, what we do is we don't try to tell, you know, the person we're counseling with what they're supposed to think or what they're supposed to do. We help them to discover it. And so if there's something we want to guide them towards, you know, we ask questions, We let them talk about it. We explain things as best we can. We guide them. We figure out how to take them through a step-by-step process whereby they can come to understand what we're trying to express so that they can then learn and grow. And I, whenever he brings that up, I smile, and my basic response is, that's great. That's, you know, that's terrific. If you want to do that, that is terrific. You know, that's fine. I'm not going to do that. I would have maybe done that at one point in my life, but maybe I'm just old and curmudgeonly now. And my excuse for not doing that is that a lot of these things that I think about and that I try to find the right path through, they seem like, at the end of the day, to not be that complicated. Something like appearance is not biology. That doesn't seem that complicated. And yet there are some people, when I say appearance is not biology, they go, well, you know, you have to, it's like, no. Appearance is not biology. Biology is a domain that is absolutely rigid. To make a life, you have to have male and female. That's the biology we're talking about. Specifically, reproduction. The biological domain, specifically with regards to reproduction, is rigid. Male, female, sperm, egg, it's the only way you can produce a life, a human life. Period. Now, there are technological interventions, you know, that they're working on more, that, you know, things are going to get squirrely, but when you get right down to the bottom of it from a primitive level, when we're talking about the domain of biology and the reproductive economy, everything's rigid. There's male, there's female, there's no such thing as male-female, because how you define that is who can produce a sperm, who can produce an egg. So if you accept that as the truth, and then you try to introduce some appearance into that, what you've just done is created a fault line that then results in things like transgenderism. Because if you don't come down on appearance, male, female is biology. And if you don't stick with biology, then, you know, a guy puts on a dress and everybody gets upset. Well, now all of a sudden you've opened up a fault line in your definitions. And so if a guy puts on a dress, our thing should really be, well, whatever. You know, people can wear whatever they want. We don't care. So my approach to that is that when I say something that I think should be fairly self-evident. If someone can't get it, I don't feel any responsibility. And this is what I tell my buddy. I said, okay, I understand what you're trying to do with the counseling thing, and that's good. That's great. For me, you know, what I just get back to is what Jesus said. So when his disciples asked Jesus, why do you speak in parables? Jesus' response is, so that hearing they will not hear, and they will not understand, and they will not turn and be forgiven. Because he quotes from like Isaiah. And he's just like, you know, they can understand this if they want to, but they choose not to understand it. Okay. So they're not going to understand it, and there's going to be judgment. And Jesus doesn't seem to have any. He's like, you know what? They should know better. They should be able to figure this out. So I kind of take the same tact. I just like, well, I'll just tell you what I think. And if you want to think it, fine. And if you don't want to think it, that's fine too. You know, hope that works out for you. Go with God. So it's going to be really interesting as I've been thinking about these books coming up. Like, how do I express this stuff? And certainly there have been things I have been expressing for years, like appearance is not biology. Because if appearance equals biology, then you have to say that the converse is true. Or what do they call that? Community. If A equals B, then B has to equal A. That's the law of community. Because as soon as you say that appearance equals biology, then you have to say biology equals appearance. And now all of a sudden, you're exactly where we are, where we've got guys going into protected biological spaces. This is why you cannot say that appearance equals biology. Now, I think what you can do is that you can recognize that there are multiple domains and recognize what the function of those multiple domains are and recognize how we function in those multiple domains will then govern what our reactions to are to it. But that's a whole other long discussion that I've been having with friends of understanding what the domains are, how people are functioning within those domains, and understanding that every domain has its own specific language. There's nothing unusual about that at all. That's the way domains work. They often come up with their own domain-specific language. And then it gets really important not to confuse the domains and confuse the language that is used within those domains. And I think we have every right, all down the board, to just say, look, I know when you're saying X, you're meaning Y, but that's not the way it works in my domain. And I'm sorry if you think that I shouldn't be allowed to use my domain anymore. But frankly, my domain has been here for millions of years. So, and yours is very, very new. So, sorry. When I speak within certain biological contexts, these are the conclusions I come to. Anyways, that's a discussion for another day. But at the end of the day, it is early December. I am ahead of schedule because book 23 has already been released and out. And I'm ramping up to start back into book 24, which technically doesn't have to happen until January 1st, but I'll probably get started early. And all is well. We're just puttering along, taking it one day at a time, loving the goodness of God, and working with Him to bring about God's kingdom here on earth. That's actually one of the main themes for our church. Bring heaven down. Just make our lives manifest a bit of heaven here on earth. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.